Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a spiritual warfare podcast. I'm Steve Hemphill, and our website is active-faith.org. Our goal is to take back territory, expel evil, and heal through spiritual growth. Today, the topic is prayer and scripture are weapons. This Battle Plan episode is one of several in a series on spiritual weapons available to all Christians. I've discovered over 70 weapons in all, so come along for the ride as we evaluate these together and improve your ability to fight Satan's advances on your life. Keep adding weapons until what you're praying for begins to happen. You might even think of some I haven't discovered yet, so let this series encourage you to be creative as you make personal progress against your unseen enemies. Hello, and welcome back to weapon 8 in our list of spiritual weapons, spoken truth. Now, we've already covered prayer, scripture, prayer plus touch, prayer plus fasting, prayer plus watching, prayer plus oil, and prayer plus confession. So we're ready for number 8, spoken truth. Now, it's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to pray the truth. But it's another thing altogether to speak the truth into any given situation. Let me start with Joshua 22:22. The Lord, the Mighty One, is God. The Lord, the Mighty One, is God. He knows the truth. Okay, so God knows the truth, and His words are truth. 2 Samuel 7:28. In Psalm 15:2, we see that the blameless speak the truth. Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Proverbs 12:19, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies will soon be exposed. Truth stands the test of time. Zechariah 8, verse 16, but this is what you must do. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just and that lead to peace. You see, telling the truth leads to peace. Joshua 7, verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, who's the guy who stole gold and clothing that belonged to God from Jericho, he said, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." So telling the truth brings glory to God. Now in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, that whole section there is when Satan is tempting Jesus for the 40 days in the desert. Notice each time that Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus responded by quoting the Bible. It is written. It is written. It is written. So Jesus quoted scripture with each temptation. But notice, too, that he didn't just quote random scriptures. He didn't quote Genesis 1:1. He could have. But what did he do? He quoted a scripture that dealt with the issue that he was being tempted with. That's why we've begun to write issues on the front of the stakes when we stake a property. If fear is the issue, write "no fear" on the stakes. If transgender is the issue, write "no transgender" on the stakes. We must add to the power of the prayers and the verses from God, verses and thoughts on the stakes that would make it more powerful by focusing from the scripture on the issue at hand. John 17:17, "Your word is truth." This is weapon 8 in our list. It also says in the NLT version of that verse, "Make them holy by your truth." So the truth makes us holy. That's one of the purposes of the truth. Matthew 13:52 is a very interesting verse. It says, "Every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven," like us, "is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as the old." So kingdom teachers are able to discern new truths to add to the old ones. We can read C.S. Lewis. We can read commentaries. We can look at Strong's Concordance and look up the Hebrew or the Greek. And we can add to it
by applying it to our modern lives. Very interesting verse. One of the ways that I was able to speak truth into someone's life is this story about Trevor. I met him years ago when I did a men's retreat in Arkansas. Great guy. We became friends. We started talking on the phone every few months. Once I hadn't heard from him in a long time, several years maybe, and I thought of Trevor out of the blue when I'm standing in line at the post office to get some stamps. Well, I said, I'll call him as soon as I get out of the post office. So I bought the stamps and I walked outside to my truck, but I ran into a friend I haven't seen in years. We started visiting. I got in the truck and left. I forgot to call Trevor. So I drove straight to the bank. At the bank, I'm in line waiting to make a deposit. And I thought of Trevor again, out of the blue, for no reason. I've learned to be more sensitive to nudges from God when things like this happen. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it now. So I stepped out of line. I walked outside and picked up my phone and called Trevor. And he immediately picked up the phone and said, Steve, how you doing? Hadn't talked to you in a long time. I said, well, I'm great. How are you? I just felt like I should call you. Is anything going on? Are you okay? He said, everything's great. Bought a new house, live closer to the office. A family's great. Got, you know, a promotion at work. Just great, great, great things. I said, well, that's great. Maybe I didn't need to call you after all. He said, hold on just a minute while I shut my door and get some privacy. And I heard the door slam and Trevor started crying. He started sobbing on the phone. I said, what's going on, brother? He said, I've been looking at porn. I know it's wrong and I need to stop. I need to confess it, need to get help or it's going to ruin my life. I said, yes, it will. You just said all the right things. You need to get help. You need to get some software that will track every website you go to and send it to a buddy so you've got accountability. You need to get other people praying for you besides just me. Confess it to your wife. Ask for forgiveness. God will help you through this. He did. He called me later and thanked me. He said, I've got my life back on track. I'm so thankful you listened to that nudge from God that day and spoke the truth into my life. The next year, Trevor died of cancer, and they asked me to preach his funeral. It was a very sobering experience. They showed a video clip at his funeral. One of the last things he ever said was, you need to get your life right with Jesus. We're all going to meet Jesus. Get your life right with Jesus. I spoke the truth into his life, and I'm looking forward to the reunion someday. So we must speak the truth into the life of others, even though it may not be the popular thing to say. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord delights in those who tell the truth. He detests lying lips. See, God delights when we tell the truth. Psalm 96:13, sing before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with what? With his truth. So the Lord is going to judge with his truth. We should know it. We should be willing to speak it because the world will be judged by it. Psalm 119:160, the sum of your words is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. God's truth is going to endure forever. John 8:40, instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. God is the source of truth. The truth came from God. Jesus shared God's truth in the ministry of his life. And speaking the truth can be risky. It was risky to Jesus, wasn't it? You're trying to kill me because I told you the truth. It's risky to share the truth, but it's the truth. And we're going to be judged by it, so we need to be willing to do so. Some will be deaf to the truth. Acts 7:51. You stubborn people, you're heathen at heart and you're deaf to the truth. This also gives us a prayer strategy. Dear Lord, help them to be deaf to the lies, deaf to the lies, and only be able to hear the voice of truth. We can use that in a prayer strategy. Acts 20:30. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. They're trying to build their church by distorting truth. We're seeing that in the world today. Some Christians are distorting truth. Some leaders and some pulpit ministers are distorting the truth. Romans 1:18, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who do what? Suppress the truth by their wickedness. Some are going to suppress the truth. Romans 1, verse 25. They traded the truth for a lie. Some are going to exchange God's truths and twist it into clever lies. We need to be aware of that. Romans 2, verse 8. He will pour out His anger and wrath on those who refuse to obey the truth. So God's anger and wrath is going to be on those who refuse to obey the truth. We speak it, but it's not our job to make sure they obey the truth. We can only control ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Love rejoices when truth wins. See? When truth wins out, love rejoices. John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. See, the Holy Spirit guides us toward truth. Who has the Holy Spirit? Christians. So Christians should be letting the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to fill them, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide them toward the truth. John 18, 37, Pilate said, "So you're king?" Jesus said, "I was born to testify to the truth." That's why Jesus came. That's why He was born, to testify to the truth. Ephesians 4, 15, we're supposed to speak the truth in love. Don't just say, keep that up, you're going to hell. Say, I love you enough to say, hey, let's consider what you're doing here because I want to be in heaven with you forever. I care about you. John 8, 32 teaches the truth sets us free. It will set us free. John 18, 37, it says, all who love truth are going to recognize Jesus' words as true. If they don't love the truth, then they won't recognize that. Jesus responded, all who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. See, if they reject your spoken truth, then they don't love truth. You can't make them love truth. You can only speak truth into a situation. 1 Timothy 6, verse 5. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. We see this among churches and among ministers and church leaders. They've turned their backs on the truth. They're more interested in being visitor friendly than they are teaching the truth that would take people to heaven with God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25 says we should gently instruct those who oppose the truth. But we're still supposed to instruct them. We're not supposed to be silent. See, it requires speaking the truth. John 14, 6, Jesus is the truth. He is truth. And the truth saves people. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10. In fact, that verse also says loving the truth prevents you falling into deception. See, deceptions fool those who refuse to love the truth and accept the truth. 1 John 3, 18 also teaches that our actions demonstrate that you follow truth. You can't say one thing and do another. You have to act on it. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 teaches us that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. So we need to be aware of this. We need to be willing to speak the truth. One of the other stories that happened when I was speaking on spiritual warfare in Louisiana once, a lady was sitting on the second row with another man, and they were sitting there together, and she was taking notes and leaning forward, and you could tell she was very interested in this topic. And when it was over, she and the guy with her came up to me quickly and said, "Man, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you my story. I need help fighting my demons. I woke up screaming last night and woke Billy up at 3 a.m. and nightmares are a big problem, and I need help fighting my demons." I always pray that God will give me the right questions to ask people when I help or advise or pray with people. And something made me in that moment just say, "Well, how long y'all been married?" And she said, "Oh, we're not married. We're just living together." And I said, "Well, I don't think I can help you. And it wouldn't help you if you put 1,000 stakes around your house." She said, "Why not?" I said, "Because if you're going to ask for God's protection, you got to live by His rules." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You can't have sex with a guy you're not married to and expect God to be real excited about answering your prayers." She looked at the guy and said, "You're moving out till we get married. What else I need to do?" You see, people are so hungry for freedom from evil, they're ready to listen to the truth. So we need to speak the truth into their lives and you have to know the truth to speak the truth. Be in the Word. Let's pray. Lord, the world wants me to believe that truth is elusive, relative, different for each individual. But Scripture teaches me your Word is truth. Forgive me for believing the world in the past. Help me to believe you from now on. Remind me that I need to make your commands and truth part of my daily life and habits so I can overcome the world and avoid being deceived by these vicious lies from the world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Next time we're going to talk about spoken bindings, weapon number 9. Meanwhile, let me remind you, keep praying because prayer works. God loves you and I love you. Have a great day.